You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for The Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Good afternoon, listeners. Good morning, evening, wherever you're at in the time frame and time zones. I have Patty Turner with us today. She's an amazing woman who has started a Sacred Earth Foundation that's dedicated to the conservation of indigenous cultures, their territories, and their wisdom. With that, she's brought them to different places in the United States so that they could do ceremony and share with others their beautiful stories and their knowledge. And with that, I'm going to bring Patty in. Hi, Patty.
Hello, Rhonda.
Here we go. So, what did you do before you began the Sacred Earth Foundation?
Gosh, Rhonda, when I was a younger woman and I wanted to just see what I was capable of, I began a visual merchandising business. I had accounts in four states. And then as I got older, I realized all I was doing was getting people to consume more. And I had such a love of the earth. I went back to school at 40 and studied marine science and worked as a marine scientist for almost 20 years.
And then, so how did you get to where you're at today? You know, what called you to the work that you do now with the Sacred Earth Foundation and the indigenous cultures?
When I went back to school, Rhonda, I studied a lot of anthropology. And I noticed how incredibly many ancient cultures of the world were living so sustainably with our planet. And I realized that science wasn't my answer to how I could help the oceans or the planet, but the wisdom of those people was. And I began to work with the Huichol people in Mexico. About one time a year I would go down and spend time with them. And the Huichol people, many people don't know who they are. They are the only culture of Mexico that was never conquered by the Spaniards. So their culture is fully intact, Rhonda. And I saw the most joyful people with no material possessions, no running water, none of the amenities that we enjoy. And yet I saw the peace in their heart. And I just decided that the most important thing we could do in this world was try and conserve these people's wisdom, all indigenous cultures that really maintain their real culture.
And that's so amazing, because a lot of why I do the radio show is so that indigenous stories can be told and their history be archived, you know, in voice, in their tongue, in their knowledge, you know, not with some person, you know, giving you their perception of what it is, but rather them giving us the true knowledge of what they do. And I didn't think that it was going to get this busy, you know, doing this, but it's really changed it a lot, you know, since I really put that forth that I wanted to put these indigenous people first, and, you know, and that they're the ones that have the answers to what's going on with the earth and the, you know, sacred mother, and, you know, what's going on with, you know, all the different things with the weather and stuff. You know, they understand it better than we do because they live in it. You know, they live it day to day, moment to moment. So how did you end up in Colorado?
Wow, that's an amazing story. I was working at Scripps Institution of Oceanography in marine science, and the grant that paid my paycheck just ended. And suddenly I found myself without work, Rhonda, and I worked at the San Diego Zoo in their research department for a year. And then I moved to where there was a grant in Santa Barbara, California. And that's when I met the Weechall people, and I had the most exquisite community that came to all the events we offered. We had Don Alejandro, who is the Maya elder of Guatemala. We had Anangak, who is the only shaman left in Greenland. Just numerous amazing elders come, and I had 60, 80, 100 people come to every event. And I thought I would never, ever leave Santa Barbara. And one day, I was sitting in the backyard of this lovely little house that I rented in a gorgeous garden. Best way I could describe it is spirit said it's time to go. All of a sudden, I couldn't bear another lawnmower. I couldn't bear to hear another car. And I decided I was going to go to Peru. So I planned, I got tickets to Peru. I told my landlady I was leaving. I lost my roommate. And within a week, I found out that I had cancer.
Wow.
So I went to a doctor who, of course, wanted me to do chemo and the whole regime. And I said, no way. I said, are you going to take this out of me or not? And I finally got it removed. And during that time, I didn't know where I was going to live, Rhonda, because I had given up my home. But I hadn't moved out yet, and my landlady said, you can stay as long as you need, but the rent was my entire income. That community fully supported me, Rhonda. They paid my rent for me, they fed me, they checked on me, they got me through those times. And the moment I was well enough, I left for Peru. But the most extraordinary thing is there was a woman, her name is Pam Osley, and she's a renowned psychic. And a friend of mine gave me the gift of having a session with her. So I go in to see this woman before I've had the surgery. I walk in her door and she goes, if you don't leave Santa Barbara, you're going to die. And she had no idea what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. She goes, and all your guides and all your ancestors are telling me you need to go to Peru. I don't know why, but you need to go to Peru. And she goes, oh, wait, they do know why. You've lived 7 lifetimes there, and you're lonely for your people. And then she told me, if you don't stay in Peru, you will live in the mountains where there are bluebirds, not blue jays, but bluebirds. Mm-hmm. And I was just like taking it all in and going, oh, my God. So I went to Peru, but before I went, I had a roommate for the last month I lived there who had property in Colorado. And he told me if I came back, I could live on his property and maybe buy into it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, okay. So I come back. I live on his property for a year. I have no water. It's just a really difficult year and my first time in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And he ends up deciding he doesn't want me to buy in. And he didn't even live there. I lived there alone. He lived in California and just rented it mm-hmm. to me. So I start looking for a home, and I go into a real estate office, and I say, I have no money, I have great credit, and I have a small retirement. Is there any way I can buy anything? Sends me to a mortgage broker who gets me a rural development loan. Zero money down, Rhonda. I
wow.
walk into the very first house that I pick. I walk into the door. It's been someone's cabin for 20 years, and they've done nothing to fix it up. I walk into this little house on 7 acres in the middle of the national forest, open my wood stove, and inside is a bluebird living.
Wow, that's extraordinary.
So every piece of the path, I just feel like I'm being pulled by my heart and guided.
Mm-hmm. And that's the land you live on now, right? The Sacred Earth Foundation in Florescent?
Yes.
And you built that house yourself then, the one that you have there now?
No, the house was here, Rhonda, but it was just a mess.
Oh.
The sellers actually had to put $10,000 into the house for the house to pass the mortgage. I qualified, but the house did not. And they were such wonderful people. They took care of everything. So now I have this nice little well-maintained home on this amazing land.
Yeah, and you're on the back side. Oops, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Without it, I could not do the work I do, Rhonda, because mm-hmm. so much of the work involves initiations, sweat lodges. Mm-hmm. It's a place no one can see where I am.
Exactly. It's up in the mountains on the other side of Pikes Peak, right? On the west side of Pikes Peak, southwest side?
That's right.
Is that right? Yeah. That's what I thought, because coming from Colorado Springs, you're kind of going southwest. And
actually,
then if
you're
coming...
going a little northwest. I'm a little northwest of it.
Oh, okay. I just know that, so Colorado Springs is south, but you're northwest of Pikes Peak or Teva Mountain. And
yeah.
I find it very interesting that I've done two ceremonies this last year, one on the Manitou Springs side and one at your house in Florescent, all in about a two-week period. And it's just been like, wow, you know, how did I get on both sides of this mountain and not even know that I was going to be on both sides of this mountain? You know, because I grew up with Pikes Peak all my life because my grandparents lived in Colorado Springs. But so what type of extraordinary adventures have you had since you have done that, started this work, and, you know, like with Walking Thunder and the initiations and the Ananox?
Ananox. Well, just before I came here, I had been running Sacred Earth for about, gosh, I want to say 7 years before I moved mm-hmm. here. And one of the first people I hosted is the shaman of Greenland, Ananok.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know how to describe this man to anyone. He did a healing work on me one day using the wing of a swan, and I became a swan. I left my body. I could fly. He's one of the most powerful shamans I've ever met. And he asked me if I would help them do logistics in Greenland. And it was about fulfilling the prophecy of the Kalaallit, Eskimo people of Greenland. And their prophecy was, when they had the first sacred fire from wood in 26,000 years, that the seasons would be no more. And it was just overwhelming to me. The ice took the island of Greenland. It's the largest island on the planet. And most people don't know this about it. There's only 15 kilometers around the edge that is habitable.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire rest of that island is the big ice. It's a kilometer
mm-hmm.
and a half high. It used to be 3 kilometers high. Half of it has melted. But it's still so heavy, Rhonda, that it depresses that part of our planet 500 feet by the weight of it.
Wow.
But so much ice has melted that the trees, for the first time, are returning to Greenland. So we gathered elders from all over the planet, Africa, Brazil, New Zealand, Siberia. 150 elders came to help us fulfill the prophecy of these people. And we built this beautiful sacred fire. And in the bottom, we put ashes that people had mailed from 278 countries to put
wow.
their sacred ashes in the bottom. And then we began the fire on top of those sacred ashes. And Jane Goodall came. We had the most exquisite people there. And it was, in my life, one of the greatest events of my life to be part of what helped to make that happen. Then I've worked with Walking Thunder, who's a Diné medicine woman. She's been studying the medicine of the Diné people since she was 11 years old. So 50-some years she's been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
One day she had a lodge on the land, and this huge 6'7" man was in the lodge. And when he came out at the end, he was crying. And I went over to him, and I had never met him before, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Patty, I've had a rash on my body for 15 years and it's gone." We don't understand the immensity of this wisdom and the immensity of ourselves, mm-hmm. Rhonda.
That's so true, because we don't look at how important our belief system is and our spiritual heritage from other lifetimes and how it plays into the life we're in now.
I started a program of initiations 5 years ago here.
Mm-hmm.
I did it 2 years in California, but when I came here, I found myself going, oh my gosh, I've got all these teachings from elders from all over this planet, and I'm just holding on to them. And I just kept thinking, I need to share this wisdom. And then I would tell myself, who am I to do this? And finally, Rhonda, literally in my dreams, I heard, if not you, whom? And so I started the program of initiations, which starts every spring and goes until the end of summer. Group, whatever size my group is, they show up once a month. Every month is a different theme. The first month is about shedding what they don't need, getting rid of the junk.
Mm-hmm.
The second month is about being impeccable in our speech, how we see others, how we treat people, what we spend. And during that month, the initiates are not allowed to buy anything except food, gas, and anything that's necessary for their work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how hard that is for people, but we have to go there. We are 5% of the world's population using 25% of the world's resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do 6 months like this. In the 6 months, they do their vision quest. And it's been the greatest calling of my life, Rhonda. It's the most joyful I could possibly be is working with these people and watching them come to their own immensity. Because we
mm-hmm.
are at a time in the world when all of us have gifts to bring, and we have to step out and share them. The world needs us.
And that's so true that, you know, the whole world, you know, everyone in the world needs us no matter what level you're at, so that they can have that acknowledgement that they do matter and that their wisdom is as important as others.
Just 3 weekends ago, my initiates went to their vision quest, and what that means to my side of it is
mm-hmm.
they show up on Friday, we do a sweat lodge together. They then do an all-night vigil at the fire, and then I take them to their sites on the mountain with 1 liter of water. They can't have any food from the moment they walk out of that lodge. And my job is to keep the fire going 24/7 for 4 days to know they have protection. And I had wonderful people show up to help me with this because it's very hard to stay up for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of miracles I see, Rhonda, is the one thing I've learned is that I get a lot of assistance from the weather beings. That's what I call
mm-hmm.
them. I call great spirits peace of the great spirit that is the weather beings.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first arrived, for the first time this whole summer, I had 10 days with no rain, and the ground was getting dangerously dry. And having a sweat lodge means a very, very big fire.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, big winds came up, and I was feeling nervous keeping this fire going. So I had them share what I call the frog song that comes from the Chumash people with me. And we sang to the weather, and we prayed, help us, help us, help us. We're here to pray. We're here for sacred reasons, but we need to protect this sacred space. Help us. Immediately, the wind died, Rhonda. And then
wow.
the wind came up about an hour into the lodge, came up bringing rain. And when we walked out of that lodge, the fire by then is very small, very controllable. The moment we left the lodge, the rain stopped, and it did not rain their entire vision quest until the day I brought them back in, and a thunderstorm came right as I was bringing them in.
Hmm.
And when we remember to ask for help, Rhonda, we're heard.
Mm-hmm.
We are so loved. We are so loved by this earth and by some great being, you who are called by 1,000 names. You who are unnameable, this being loves us. We need to be working for good things and asking for help for good reasons and not for selfish ones. And we get the help.
And you have men and women in these initiation programs, correct?
I do, and every year brings me a different group. Most of the years I've had all women. This year I had more men than women. And they work together so beautifully because it's not, this kind of initiations is about bringing you to your own immensity. Anangak teaches something, and this is his greatest teaching, and the reason he travels the world. He says the greatest distance in the existence of man is not from here to there, nor there to here. Nay, the greatest distance in the existence of man is from his head to his heart. And until we learn to bridge that distance, we will never learn to soar as the eagle and know our own immensity within. And my initiations is all about just that. Not a rite of passage, not about becoming a woman or becoming a man or going into older age. It's about learning how immense we are and what a responsibility that brings.
Wow. And how do they react to that responsibility in the initiations, your initiates?
Oh my gosh, Rhonda, I just get tears in my eyes sometimes. I have people that were in abusive marriages. Now they've walked away from them and they're leading people in how to build and design sacred geometry. I see people that hated their jobs finding that they can have abundance in whatever their gift is. I mean, it really changes them for good. And I
sounds
see
like
so
it,
many gifts.
It sounds like it changes them to the core of their being.
It does. They go through really hard things here. I mean, at one point, Rhonda, I bury them in the earth. And only their faces are out. And this is nighttime for several hours. And they leave their stuff behind. Feel the earth holding them. And it's all about this whole thing and everything that we should all be doing is about understanding that we are the caretakers of this planet, not the supreme beings. And when we find that, Rhonda, we understand our oneness. And when we are in oneness, we come to a place of real unconditional love for the people, for the animals, for the stone people, the plant people. And in that is so much joy. There's no longer the separation that has been taught by rigid doctrines.
And you do these for 6 months. From what part of the year to what part of the year do you do these?
I usually offer an introduction in February just for a two-hour. They get a little taste of some of the ceremony, but mostly they hear everything they're going to have to be able to do. And they have to make a serious commitment. So then I make them wait a week to even make a commitment. I want them to think about it because once we start, it's quite disturbing if someone leaves the group because a beautiful energy forms. And usually we begin our first month of the real work in March, and then we end in August.
And, so you're just now ending an initiation period that you had this year, correct?
Yes, and I'll start the next one in February next year.
And how do people get a hold of you if they're interested in doing something like this?
They can reach me by phone, by email, and all the information is under contacts on www.sacredearthsound, F as in Franco, UND.org. And the name of the corporation is actually Tierra Sagrada, the Sacred Earth Foundation.
Okay, well, we have a caller, and I'm going to see what our caller's question is, okay?
Sure.
Hello, caller. What's your name? Hello? Oh, they dropped. Call back, caller. We're here. I just don't know what happened that you dropped. So just call back in. And if anyone has any questions for Patty, please call in to 1-347-838-9142. Please press 1 once, and we'll be able to see you in the back, as I just did with the caller. With an interview like this, and I don't have a moderator, it takes me a minute to get to you, but I will be to you quickly as I can, as soon as the questions are over. Let's take a short break, Patty, for a minute, and we'll to start up with the questions about the upcoming events that are going to happen later this month and first part of September and October. So with that, I think we have our caller back. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Did you have a question? Nope, I don't think so. I don't think she wants to talk. I think it's just she wants to listen. So I'm going to give us a little bit of a break here in just a second. So, Patty, you gave him your contact information. And for the radio show, just you can reach me at searchersroadmap@gmail.com. And I will be here to answer your questions, to be able to get new guests in. I have a whole new lineup of guests that are coming this next month that are from around the world in a whole another venue of healing that's I've not touched on before, and a lot of them are men, and to which I've not had a lot of men on the radio show. So this is really exciting to be able to have that. So I'm going to play some music, and then listeners, if you want, you can call 1-347-838-9142. And if you just want to listen, that's fine. You know, you don't have to talk if you don't want to. And we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, we're back from break, and Patty and I are back with you. Patty has a lot of events coming up over the next couple of weeks and months between the end of August and in September and October. Can you share with us about your upcoming events and who all's going to be involved in that?
Thank you for this opportunity, Rhonda.
Yeah.
Yes, next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, a week from tomorrow, I have the Hopi Eagle Dancers coming with Ruben Sosky. They're coming from Second Mesa in Arizona, and they do an incredible eagle dance. And then Ruben is going to lead us in a ceremony, a medicine wheel ceremony for healing. And, you know, the Hopi have kept their cultures for hundreds and hundreds of years, Rhonda. They have
mm-hmm.
just beautiful ceremonies. And then that will begin at 1 o'clock on Saturday the 29th. And then at 10 a.m. on the 30th, Ruben has offered to lead us in a sweat lodge.
Wow, that's amazing. That should be really interesting. Do the Hopi do the sweat lodge the same as other indigenous people, or do they have a little bit of a difference than others?
You know, I have found every culture I work with has their own way,
right,
Rhonda. And I'm really excited about having Ruben in here. He's really come into his power. I worked with him 15 years ago, and he was still really young and still growing, but so dedicated to this path. And so I'm very excited to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have a lot of concerns about a sweat lodge.
Right.
And I have worked with so many cultures, Rhonda, that my lodge is quite different than, say, a Lakota lodge.
Right.
But there was this crazy man who was in the movie The Secret, who became famous for the movie, and he decided
mm-hmm.
to do a sweat lodge in, I believe it was in Sedona, and cover it with plastic and not allow people to leave. And he hurt a lot of people and is now in prison.
Mm-hmm.
This is such an oddity. I'm telling you, in 20 years of doing sweat lodges, I have never seen a single person health affected. I've only seen their spirits soar. Lodges are magical, beautiful places to go. You bring
mm-hmm.
prayers, you bring your songs, you sit in total darkness so your heart's open because you speak and no one can even see you.
Mm-hmm.
And you pour water on the grandfathers. The grandfathers are the lava rocks, and they carry the wisdom of the ages. And you carry them past an altar and into the womb of Mother Earth, which is the center of the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour water on them. You call your ancestors in. You call your spirit guides in. And I can't tell you, I have seen white lights in there. I have seen spirits
mm-hmm.
in my lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So I really encourage people to have no fear. Never will a lodge happen on my land where if someone asks that the gate be open and can they leave, that I would ever say no. I take care of people in there, and I know Ruben does the same.
And I think most people who do them traditionally don't say, no, you can't leave, or no, you can't re-enter, you know. And I've been to your lodge, and it's very calming. And for me, because it was the first time I'd been in lodge since I broke my back, and I was a little apprehensive of being on the ground, you know, but I really felt held by the earth, you know, and by the mother that, you know, it was going to be okay and that I would be able to do what I came to your land to do when we did the long dance. And I think that, you know, you just have such spectacular connections to the indigenous that, you know, there's really, spirit only wants the good to come out and for people to see their opportunities of advancement through going in the dark and calling out their prayers.
Yep. It's so true, Rhonda. It's just been, I mean, I get to the point where I have to have a lodge because I need one myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm amazed. I get people, I'd like people to know we're an hour from Colorado Springs. We are 2 hours from Denver and 3 from Boulder, and we get people from all those places. And I call in the people in Salida and the people in Hartsville, my neighbors, show up. Mm-hmm. You will be so glad you did. I'm just amazed, Rhonda. Most of my people come from 3 hours away. And I know that the more Colorado Springs and people nearer to my land find out that we're here, that they're going to find they have a real sanctuary to come to just regroup and rebalance. Which reminds me, my next event after the Hopi is September 19th, and I am absolutely so excited about this one, Rhonda. It's called Music and Magic in the Mountains, and it will be music all day long from COCLE, the Irish band, to a kirtan at the end of the day. I have Gushikawa coming with her ceremonial sword dance from Japan. We will have a ceremony for equinox, a shamanic journeying with Ellen Winter, and then we have all sorts of local healers coming to share their gifts, vendors, artists. This is going to be such a fun, amazing day, and yet it's going to be bringing spirit in right with
us. Well, I'm glad to hear that Ellen Winter's going to be there because she's amazing all in herself and the journeying she can do. So, people, if you've never had a shamanic journey, please come to Patty's property and partake in this festival of magic and love and light, because that's exactly what it's all about, and it's amazing.
You know, I did one other festival in my life that I organized, and it was in Lyons 2 years ago, shortly before their flood.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, my gosh, that we had over 400 people come. And I just watched people walk around, and they were altered in the most beautiful way. Everybody was smiling. They were experiencing ceremonies. They were experiencing the music. It was just beautiful. And so I'm really hoping to get a good crowd, because we've got amazing people offering their gifts for you. And it's September 19th. It begins at 11 in the morning until 8 at night. And then my final event that I have scheduled is John Lockley. And John Lockley is the Sangoma of South Africa. He is a white man from South Africa who ended up experiencing what they call Twaza. And Twaza is what they call the Sangoma illness. He became so violently ill with absolutely no answer to what was wrong with him. No Western medicine could help him. And finally, a Sangoma woman got to him and said, if you don't learn, you're going to die. Then apartheid came, and John was not allowed to enter the black neighborhoods, just as the blacks were not allowed to enter the white neighborhoods in that horrible history of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So John ended up spending years with Buddhist monks in Vietnam, and he came back right at the end of apartheid and found his teacher. And for 15 years, he went through the initiations to become a Sangoma. And I cannot begin to tell you how difficult that is. At one point, they become diviners. So they throw the bones and they can tell people what's coming up and what's affecting their future. And to get those bones, you have to divine where they are. In other words, something that's hidden from you has to come to you. You don't go searching for it. It has to come in. And John is a marvelous diviner, but more than anything, he's a wonderful teacher about reconnecting to our ancestors. So on Halloween night from 6 to 10, we're going to dance with the ancestors with John Lockley.
And how should people come dressed to these events? I mean, in August, it should be fairly warm, right?
Yes.
And in September?
Next weekend, what you will want to do is go to my website, www.sacredearthsound.org, click on events. Upcoming and the festival are both under the events sign. And almost always I will tell people what they should expect to wear. Because September you're going to want good walking shoes, because my land is not fully flat, it's hilly. And you're going to be out in nature all day. For the Hopi, I really think it'll be a nice, beautiful Saturday, but whatever the weather brings, it's there shorter days, so you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we're doing is daytime. But for the festival, you'll be going into the night, so you're going to want something warm for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
I do only have one So if you have special needs for food, I would advise people to bring what they want to eat. But we do have a wonderful food vendor coming, but it's only one truck, because you have to have a huge number of people to have more than one truck at a festival. And
exactly.
I think we will have a huge number, but I want to make sure everyone does well that is a participant.
Mm-hmm. And then with John Lockley, people should dress warmer since it's in October because it could possibly snow.
Yes, and we're going to be outside around a big bonfire.
Okay.
So definitely dress warmly for John Lockley and be prepared to see your ancestors coming forth.
Because the next day is the Day of the Dead.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I mean, and that's what it's all really about, is about, you know, interacting with your ancestors rather than dressing up and trying to scare someone or being goofy. I think it's more about, you know, how did that, what do the ancestors want us to know in this time and space?
But I would like to add,
uh-huh.
you know, I think most of the people that come to my event are on a spiritual path or seeking something
right.
spiritual. If you feel called to dress up, spirit's telling you, I want to go as a fairy, you go ahead and do it.
Exactly.
But make sure you have warm clothes, because it will just make it more fun. John is fun. He drums.
Yeah.
He chants. He'll have us dancing. He'll have us moving. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with playing. Spirit should be joyful. Spirituality
mm-hmm.
should not be some somber, reverent moment. It should be joyful, because spirit wants us to dance on this land. It wants
mm-hmm.
us to dance through our lives, to experience the beauty all around us.
Exactly. I mean, they really want us to celebrate life as it is in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Ananak's great-great-grandmother used to say her greatest fear was that all ceremony would become a ritual. And she said, life is a ceremony worthy of being celebrated with a ceremony every day.
So true. I mean, if we can't celebrate today, what can we celebrate? You know, this is, we're really only in the moment each and every day. You know, so it's about being your true self, I guess, your true divine self.
There was an old African woman. You know, she was sitting there with just like a little loincloth, naked breasts hanging down to her knees. And she had this American woman sitting next to her that was going, oh, I hate my stomach. In all the vanity of our Western culture. And that
mm-hmm.
old woman looked at her and she said, honey, do you hate your stomach? She goes, oh, I'm so overweight and I don't like the way I look. And the old woman said, do you see that tree? And the woman said, yes. And the old African woman pointed at another tree and said, did you see that tree? And it was all gnarled and twisted, but beautiful. She goes, and do you see that other tree? And the woman goes, yes, yes, I see the trees. She goes, do you see how different they are, but how beautiful?
I think a lot of it is looking at things simply, you know, rather than judgmentally. But simply
mm-hmm.
looking at the beauty for the person themselves. I just had a flicker fly in front of me. And I find them very
oh.
funny, because he's been out here chattering. And at my mom's house, because I'm there today, I've had five of them out here just chitter-chattering around, you know, like, hello, are you there? Because they're a feather that I use to cross people over with, and I've been using them quite a bit lately. And they've been leaving them for me. And it's like, yes, I see you. What are you trying to tell me today? You know? And it's the same way with, you know, doing any of these things that are not in the Western norm, so to speak. But, I mean, I think it's more about that we're really all indigenous, each and every one of us, from
yes,
one place
are.
Or another. You know, because we're not that much different from each other, and we're all having a spiritual experience in this time and age all around the world. It doesn't matter if you're in the United States, India, Siberia, you know, Greenland, Finland, in Mexico, you know, they're just all, everyone's having the same type of spiritual experience of it's time to let go of the old and grab, you know, and accept the new.
You know, Rhonda, for centuries, the ancient cultures hid their secrets from white men. 10 years ago, just about, and in 2012 more than ever, they were all told it's time to share it, because we all need to remember that we are one with this earth. And we were talking about celebrations and ceremonies, and I would like to share something that Walking Thunder taught me. The Diné people, most of us call Navajo. That is not what they're called. They're called Diné. And they have a song that's about walking in beauty. And walking in beauty simply means I see the beauty in front of me and behind me, to the left of me and the right of me, above me, below me, and within me. And I sat at her feet for a whole day until she accepted that I had learned this song. And it's really a child song, but it's a song that simply says, I celebrate that I have this opportunity to be alive, and help me walk in beauty. Because when we walk in beauty, Rhonda, we never forget our gratitude for all that is around us. So if you would care, I'd like to share that song.
I would love for you to share that song. I love hearing you sing.
Oh, thank you. So everyone out there know I'm not a singer, but what I'm sharing with you is ancient, and I think the ancientness of the song is what makes it beautiful. Yah-hey! Yah-ho! Yah-hey-ya! Hey-ya, 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 hey, hey-ya, hey, hey-ya, hey-ya, hey. Shama, shama, no kaki. Wish in a shadow. Hey, ah, hey. Hey, ah, hey. Hey, ah. Hey, ah, hey. So when I'm sad, I go to the mountains and I sing to her.
She was a very dynamic woman to meet. Walking Thunder, I remember meeting her when you were in Lyons a couple of years ago. And
she's right out front, Rhonda. She thinks she needs something she'll tell you, and you may not like it, but she knows.
Yeah, exactly.
I love her like a sister.
Yeah. That's what I liked about her, was she was so upfront and so honest with, this is how it is, this is how it, you know, will be, this is how beautiful this ceremony is, please partake of it with me, you know, take it with you to do again, you know, I mean, she was just very beautiful in her, the only thing I can think of is in her thunder, you know, I mean, in her way of presenting herself. But yet she walked very softly, very calmly, you know, and I mean, but any of the healers and shamans you had there were amazing people that, you know, really were walking the walk and doing the work and talking the talk. You know, they weren't just doing parts of it.
I am so grateful to my teachers, Rhonda. I mean, they are... And they're all human beings. They all have their flaws. They all have their difficulties. But, man, when it comes down to what teachings are, they are there.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to bring us to that place of opening our hearts and feeling how much we're held how many guides and guardians came into this life with us to guide us. And the biggest thing is to notice, to not think everything is a coincidence. What we call synchronicity is a miracle. It's a, it's a message.
Patty, what would your wish be for the future?
I think the thing I wish the most, Rhonda, is that more people would understand what we're bringing and find us if they need us. I mean, this land was gifted to me by spirit, Rhonda. And when I find a family in struggle or a child in trouble, I want them to find us. And so I guess the greatest thing I wish is that more people knew that we exist, because we are here to help bring us back to where we belong and to our own immensity. Because my greatest wish is that we quit thinking that we own this planet, but that we are one with it, and that we work together and understand that the consumers, those of us who are everyday people just trying to make our ends meet, we do have the power. If we quit supporting the corporate demons, which is what I really call them, and not all corporations are that. Without the corporations, people would be hungry. They do employ people. But the greed, to help us to end the greed, means we have to quit supporting it. We have to quit putting chemicals on our earth. We have to quit supporting those companies that are destroying this planet for our children. So that's what I hope for the future. I hope every single one of us that can touch one more, there is a tipping point. And there is a story called The Hundredth Monkey that I'm sure many people have heard it said but don't know what that means. But there were scientists studying monkeys on an island, and they gave the monkeys sweet potatoes, and sometimes the sweet potatoes ended up in the sand, and the monkeys hated them if they had sand on them. And one day, one monkey chose to wash a sweet potato in the water. And then others observed it, and they started washing sweet potatoes. And when the 100th monkey started washing sweet potatoes, other scientists that worked with the scientists studying on this island, but that were around on the other side of the planet studying different monkeys, noticed for the first time in history their monkeys were washing sweet potatoes. And it's true of people. When Edison discovered electricity, another man on the other side of the planet discovered it at the same time. We are evolving, and we are near, we are in a tipping point. And all we have to do is wake up, people, wake up, wake up. Understand what the television tells you is brainwashing. It tells you what to eat, what to wear, how to look. Let it go. Go back to your heart. Notice that you are living in the Garden of Eden. You are never driven out. And fill your hearts with gratitude, because with that comes your love and your joy.
So you, can you go over again with us, Patty, the events that are coming up in August, September, and October, please?
I would love to. So August 29th and 30th. Come to the Sacred Earth Sanctuary and share in ceremony with the Hopi. You'll see the Eagle Dancers, and you'll learn a ceremony of healing around the medicine wheel. Sunday, August 30th, there will be a sweat lodge beginning at 10 a.m. September 19th, Music and Magic in the Mountains, the Festival of Higher Vibration. And October 31st on Halloween, we will have John Lockley, Sangoma of South Africa. And to reach us, please go to www.sacredeearth, S as in Frank, OUND.org, sacredearthbound.org. And we'd love to see you come out. And if anyone out there is struggling and in need, contact us. We do private ceremonies to help people.
And do you have an email? Your email's on the Sacred Earth Foundation website.
It
am
is,
I correct?
But I will be I'll be happy to share it. It's Patty.
Yes, you would.
But P as in Paul, A T I, at sacredearthfound.org.
Okay. And with these different ceremonies and stuff that you do, it's by donation, and it's good if people. What are your cutoff dates for the different price ranges of the different events?
Okay, for the Hopi, this is we are asking strictly donations, but we are suggesting you get up in the neighborhood of $50. If you have five and that's all you can afford, that's fine. But understand these people are driving 9 hours to come and share this with us,
mm-hmm.
and that we are here to support them. So the suggested for the Hopi is $50 each day, but we will turn no one away. There is a fee to come to the festival. It's $25 until September 1st. After that, it's $30. This is a big festival, lots of musicians to give some compensation to. So $25, get your tickets now. It'll be $30 beginning September 1st. And for John Lockley, it's a suggested donation of $30 for the Halloween night.
Okay, and do you have a Facebook page where people can join and say they're going to your festival or coming to the Hopi or to John Lockley?
You know, I do, but it's Patty Turner, but there's also a page for Sacred Earth. But the best way to find out about us is sign up for our newsletter on the website. Our website is really concise. We'll tell you everything you want to know. But
mm-hmm.
for the Facebook page, you'd have to look up P-A-T-I Turner, Patty Turner.
Very good. And we're almost out of time. Callers and listeners, thank you so very much for tuning in today. Please don't hesitate to download this information so that you can listen to it again. It'll be ready in about 5 to 10 minutes after the show. You can reach me, Rhonda Harrison, at searchersroadmap@gmail.com. That's searchersroadmap@gmail.com. Or you can reach me on the Ceremony and Healing for the Individual and the Land on Facebook, or Rhonda Harrison on Facebook. I'm available most times. I check my emails pretty often. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, please don't hesitate to put in your input, as I'd like to make sure everybody gets what they need. We're just going to close out with a little music, and we're really glad that everyone came. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention one more thing, and that's that
we also have
meetup groups. If you're on meetups, look for Sacred Earth, and you'll find us.
Okay, so that's meetup for Sacred Earth Foundation, and you can also find Patty there. And listeners, thank you so much for a wonderful show, and thank you, Patty, for sharing with us all this wonderful information that will be happening in the next couple of weeks.
And I'm grateful for all your support, Rhonda. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.